You're listening to the Missionary Perspective Podcast with veteran missionaries Eric Johnson and Joshua Mead. We're glad you could join us. We trust this podcast will be both a blessing and a challenge as we relate topics in world evangelism from a missionary perspective. Now, here's Josh and Eric. Welcome to the Missionary Perspective Podcast. I'm Josh Mead. I'm here in person again with Eric Johnson, and we were able to reconnect. It's been over 16 years, as we mentioned in last week's podcast, since we've been in person. Of course, we've been doing the podcast together now. It's been almost 3 years that we've been doing the podcast, and I've been loving every minute of it. And since being back in the States, it's been an encouragement and a blessing to visit different churches and meet so many people who are listening to our podcast. So we want to thank you for just being a listener, just being our audience. We just do this because we wanted to connect. And we do it because we do want to encourage the next generation. But I just love connecting with Eric. And I'm so glad, Eric, we got to meet in person. We're going to share today about what we love just about world evangelism and kind of what we love about right now being back in the States and reconnecting. And you're back now for what? You got a couple more weeks?
Two more weeks.
And then you guys head back. Very good. So you begin a little bit of rest and relaxation a little bit, visiting a couple churches as well.
Absolutely.
Very good. Sunday night, this Sunday night, which I'll have already been there when this airs, but I'll be at your sending church in Herndon. And I'm excited about it. It's been it's been maybe at least 10 years, I think, since we've been in person. Your church came out when we built our building, and they played a big role in the early construction over there. And so, yeah, we're really excited. I'm Eric, excited about, we ended last week talking about the next generation, mm-hmm. seeing young people surrendering. And do you get a lot of young people wanting to come for mission trips to Dominican with the idea that I might want to serve? And
yeah, we get that from time to time. We get a lot of mission groups that want to come. And then while they're there, a lot of young people are asking questions. And we do get people sometimes soliciting to come and take survey trips or maybe learn more about that. In fact, this summer, we're going to be hosting some of our first interns for the first time. Not quite as extensive as you, but it's for us, it is very exciting to see that next generation of missionary being grown up, maybe listening to God's call. But as we kind of continue with this idea of us being very excited about missions, there's something that, as Josh and I, I think of myself as more middle-aged right now. You know, I'm not a young guy, not an old guy yet, but kind of middle-aged. But for us, as excited as I am about the next generation, I'm also someone who's very excited to see faithful missionaries, faithful pastors still going strong. As we mentioned last podcast, Josh and I met yesterday and had a long conversation. And one of the things that kept creeping up in our conversation were those heroes of the faith in our minds who are still going strong. For those of you who know this podcast, know we're dear friends and admirers of Dr. Don Sisk, who plus 90 years old is still going strong. And probably, it's amazing, 20 years ago we were on deputation and his motor was unbelievable. And you know, I was like 28 years old and this guy, you know, would have been in his 70s. I think just his energy level. And we know, if you've ever met him, that's of God. God has given him a special ability to just continue to go on missions. But even yesterday, some of the people you were mentioning in your own ministry there in Senegal. So today we want to talk about how excited we are. That first point is like faithful missionaries and pastors that are just still going strong for the Lord.
Yeah. I was just in a church up in Canada. It's my brother-in-law. He pastors a church up there. And I'm good friends with Bob Mack. He's doing has done and still is doing a tremendous job in Ivory Coast. And if there's any missionary, if you're going to Africa, if there's any missionary, there's a lot of great missionaries in Africa. But if there's somebody that you want to model a ministry after, especially just early days of church planting and just kind of get a strong philosophy of ministry, you want to connect with Brother Mack. And I didn't know this, but somebody, Monroe Rourke, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but somebody authored a book, wrote a biography about the Macks. It's called With a Purpose. And I saw that in the library and I asked my brother-in-law, hey, when was this come out? I'd never even heard of it. So Brother Mack was on one of our first podcasts a few years ago. And so I'm going to have to get him back on here and we'll kind of promote his book, but I'm going to promote his book right now. But it's men like Bob Mack that just, it encourages me to see men that
they've raised a family on the field. Their family's back in the States now. He's got a boy that's raising support, going back to work with them. And he's got other kids that are working in different areas. And it's just to me to see that they're just continuing and staying strong and staying faithful. And I mean, chapter one opens up with some of the challenges they were facing when there was a coup taking over and a civil war taking over. And just, it's a wild story. And a lot of times you'll read that, maybe parents will read that in today's age and be like, I don't want my kids going through that. But there's a grace that God gives for mission work. When you have a calling, what I love, Eric, is just seeing these faithful missionaries who maybe when they were young, you know, he'll share his testimony of when he was younger in college, or some men when they're kids, God planting that calling. And when you receive that call to do world evangelism, to go to another culture, to leave your home, that's a seed God plants that, I mean, is just as strong as that knowing you're saved. I know I'm going to be a missionary. I know this is what I'm going to do. And it's encouraging to see, especially when you read stories of their times when men like Bob and his wife, they should have left. They should have gave up. There's no reason they should have stayed in that context. And earthly speaking, but to see them endure different hardships and see the grace of God in their life and see God's protection. That's the number one concern, isn't it, Eric, with a lot of parents about their kids going to the mission field. Will they be safe? And it is natural. And it's just, when you read about the Apostle Paul, the honest truth is none of us are outside of the realm of going through difficulties, but the honest truth is you're untouchable until God's done with you. And so it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a terrorist infested country, or you're in the safety of your hometown you grew up in a rural part of America. If you're out of God's will, that's not a good place to be. When you're in God's will, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials. It doesn't mean that God might not use death and suffering in your life to impact people, but you're in the best place to be, and you're the safest place to be, in the sense of it's not always safe from danger, but you're in the best place to be because God's protection is there and his will is being accomplished through you. And what I love seeing about a lot of these faithful missionaries is the grace of God that has gotten them through the trials and difficulties. And I draw on that whenever we're going through something difficult or opposition or some sort of trial. I always draw on the example. Of course, you encourage yourself in the Lord, but then you look at those who went through the same thing, found encouragement in the Lord, and endured and continued. And so I always get encouraged with that.
Yeah, I think longevity of serving the Lord is always inspiring to a person who is following the Lord's call in the missions. And, you know, it may be that Lord, in some cases, has kept someone in one spot for 30, 40, 50 years. And that's, you know, very unique, very inspiring as a missionary. But there are people who the Lord has brought them through different phases. I mean, we're just speaking about Dr. Sisk. Dr. Sisk was a missionary, I think, for around 10 years, maybe even slightly less, and built some amazing churches and planted amazing churches, and yet had different phases in his life as a regional director and then a general director. And then for most people who've known him the last 20 plus years, has just been, you know, basically a missionary ambassador. And I don't know anyone who's done more in the last 20 years in our circles for, you know, encouraging missionaries, raising support for missionaries, you know, raising awareness for the need of world evangelism. And so, you know, there's just people like that God has used in different phases. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that, you know, the Lord may only use a missionary on the field technically for 10 or 15 years to change his fields. That doesn't mean they're going to continue to be a faithful servant. And so for us, we're excited to see anyone who's still serving the Lord in one capacity or another, especially in the area of world evangelism, because faithfulness is really, that's the paramount thing, being a faithful person, faithful husband, faithful father. But when you're called to be a missionary, I mean, that's your number one goal, is not to be innovative, not to be creative, not to even be the world's greatest preacher. It's just to be faithful. And so when that's your goal, and then you see others ahead of you who've done it for decades, maybe even decades more, you know, that really becomes awe-inspiring.
I used to be more cynical of those who would come to the field and you're only there for a short time, and then you would leave and come off the field. And part of what we try to encourage with this podcast even is trying to help younger families mm-hmm. navigate some of the cultural shock and some of the pressures and stress yeah. so that it doesn't explode and your family yes. implodes and you come off the field for the wrong reasons. Absolutely. But the longer I've been on the field, mm-hmm. I've come to realize there are good reasons Absolutely. For God to transition you to another ministry. Mm-hmm. And as long as you stay faithful, what I've learned is God has called you. He wants to use you. So your giftings, your desires, your likes, your skills, he's calling you. And so he may have different seasons of time that he wants you to work in this particular area and work in this particular area. Not that it's a, because I've met some guys who it's kind of like, I'm going to be here, mm-hmm. but it's a stepping stone to get to here. Exactly. And you could tell those guys right away. You could tell if you run into somebody like that, whether it's a pastor or maybe somebody mm-hmm. in a leadership position, that, yeah, they just kind of, it was a stepping stone to them. But others you'll meet, I met a missionary recently, or not a missionary, he's a pastor. They just was in their conference recently. And he had been a missionary on the field. And they went through some tragic events, some difficulties yes. on a bunch of different grounds. Yes. And they came off the field and it was the right decision Absolutely. For the health of his family. It yeah. was the right decision. And now he's pastoring a church. That church is thriving. Oh, yes. They love missions because yeah. he did missions. Yeah. He's open. If God would call him yeah. back, he would. I know he would go at the drop of a hat. But where God is using him and that experience he had in that short time, he's extremely effective where he's at now. And he's supporting missionaries mm-hmm. and he's got a mission heart. So I meeting him, I was just encouraged to yeah. see, okay, sometimes your life will change. Plans change, but God stays the same. He's our constant. And so I would say what I've maybe changed because the perspective, again, I was more hard line where it's like, no, you go to the field, you need to be there. And I feel like we've just begun. We haven't been there 15 years. But I also think, okay, you know, we're reaching an age where I need to start thinking of a transition game here. Are we going to be the rest of our life in Senegal? Are we going to come back based out of the States and work in other countries? So there's plans that we're kind of implementing and figuring out what's that going to look like, you know? And so those are all important decisions, but what's important is staying faithful to the Lord and the calling in your life and recognizing those transitions are of the Lord.
Yeah, it's so important. I know who you're speaking of, and it's interesting how my perspective when I was a younger missionary is the same when people who maybe understood a language and a culture very well, even who may had more years on the mission field and they came off the field, a lot of times my first reaction was disappointment. Right. But now I understand with just more maturity, understanding people's situations that, you know, God is just constantly moving us down a road and sometimes it'll turn, sometimes it's straight for a long time. But those who are faithful will just, you know, allow the Lord to direct the path of the road and just, you know, be where he plants us. And sometimes he uproots us and plants us somewhere else. And you know, that's why we have this podcast to tell everyone that everyone's perspectives, their journeys are different, but we still have that same message. And so I think we've been encouraged by the same thing. And that kind of brings me to number five in our list, and number two for today. But one of the things that's really exciting me about world evangelism, and I know this is right up your pike, is creative innovations in the area of supporting missionaries and equipping missionaries. I think there's just so much out there now with technology, and we're going to delve into some of the things that we've talked in the past, but maybe some people who are new to the podcast don't know how you have used technology and media to, I would say, expand in ways, but the creative ways that even people back here in the United States are using to reach and support missionaries on the mission field. I know of a gentleman we both know who kind of came up with a concept of, you know, growing and selling coffee mm-hmm. to support missions and national missionaries. We were telling you a story yesterday of a church that came up with this idea to have basically cornhole tournaments to raise money for missionaries. And not just like, you know, once in a while, but like all the time. And just thinking outside of that box to do something that's great for the Lord.
Yeah, I love that. There's a man in our sending church in Michigan. He started a business years ago, Pastor Todd, again, who we just interviewed, mm-hmm. led him to Christ. He started a business out of his garage, basically a tech business. And I was talking with him just the other day because he read the book that Jeff Buckman wrote. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, it was encouragement. But even before he read that book, years ago, as he was starting his business, he said, as he was growing in the Lord, he said, it hit me that this is for the Lord. So everything I do, I'm committing to the Lord, and I'm going to use this business to support God's work. And he now owns 6 different businesses. He said, you can't outgive God. It's been amazing. He said, as soon as I committed to the Lord and implemented that, he said the business took off, and the growth was exponential. Unbelievable how God has blessed him and how he's use that to be a blessing to others, and not just missions, but he'll help people that have needs in the mm-hmm. church and different things. So it's been neat to watch, and you meet different people like that who have figured out that, hey, this is God's work, and maybe God's not called me even into full-time ministry, but I can make an impact on his work by using my gifts and my skills and dedicating that to the Lord. And if the Lord wants to bless my business, then I'm going to give it back and bless the Lord through that. So yeah, I've been encouraged as we've traveled to meet and just see different churches that are using different unique means and methods to reach people and different outreach, even the way they do different, meetings at the church. They're just the way they're engaging their community. I'm seeing
probably even connecting with you.
Oh, sure.
More. I mean, I think the pandemic probably brought this out more than ever. But one of the things I'm very thankful for, and I think you is, we don't have a lot of churches, I feel like, that are kind of berate us to come visit them if we haven't been there a long time. And in some churches, I'm even ashamed to say, it's been over a decade that we've been able to visit them. And there's lots of reasons for that. None of it's laziness. It's just been on the field staying at it. But churches, I think with their creativity, their understanding of technology, understanding of being able to show some media presentation or have a Zoom call or have something pre-recorded, I'm encouraged when churches realize the value of that. And oftentimes, maybe even the savings of money and time. Yeah. Now, we truly do understand the need to be face-to-face and make those connections. And we love that. Like, Josh and I very much do like to be in churches and to tell people. I think we like to be enthusiastic about what the Lord is doing. And we want to see more missionaries called into the service. And we want to be thankful to those who support us. But I am also very thankful for those who are creative and having ways right. where we can tell them exactly what's going on with sometimes not having to be right there with them.
Well, I would say to the veteran missionary who's going on furlough that you can implement a lot more intentionality in how you schedule your furlough.
Absolutely.
And you can schedule maybe shorter furloughs mm-hmm. and just kind of restructure according to your needs, according to your family needs, structure your furlough accordingly. There's no cookie cutter. Yeah. You've got to be 4 years on the field, yeah. 1 year off. There's a lot of different ways that churches are realizing with the ease of travel and with media, we're able to update and stay in touch with churches more so. There are some churches that I just visited this furlough that we haven't been to since deputation, but everybody was up to date
Absolutely.
With what's going on Absolutely. In our ministry. And I can't tell you how encouraging that yeah. is. And so what I mean by a missionary, you can plan your furlough intentionally. What I mean by that is, if you're coming back, like what is there a specific project? Are you trying to recruit young people mm-hmm. and then plan it accordingly? And so if a church, when we did this furlough, mm-hmm. it's one of the rare year-long furloughs that we do. So I just wrote all of our churches and said, if you would like us to be in person, I'll schedule you prioritize. We'll put you in. And I only had maybe 5 churches that said, we would like you here for our conference. So I put that down immediately. Other churches said, no, you don't have to come, if you don't want to. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to schedule churches where I know there's maybe more young people mm-hmm. or maybe there's a Bible college connected mm-hmm. to it.
Make an influence.
Yeah. Or we're raising funds for this project. So I feel like being in person, I'm going to be able to present that need and answer questions. But at the same time, even before we came back on furlough, we were able to raise almost $60,000. While being on the field, just sending videos and letters. And so being in person, obviously, I think it's better being face-to-face, being able to present that. But again, like I said, if you're a missionary going on furlough, you can be much more intentional. Instead of feeling like I got to hit every church and wearing yourself down to the bone, most churches, you're right. It's not that they don't want you there, but hey, they understand, and we can get a video update. In fact, when I finish this furlough, Eric, I'm going to look at all the churches that support us that I wasn't able to visit on this furlough, and I'm going to take our missionary video. I'm going to do a custom introduction to each church, add that to the video, and then send a custom video to the churches we haven't been to. So then when they present it on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, whenever they present it, we're giving a custom introduction, addressing the church, and then it goes into our video update. And what's great with that is it almost feels like you were there, you know, even though you weren't. But yeah, so I think there's take advantage of those things as
missionaries. I think it's exciting too with, you know, there's a lot of bad things about social media, but one of the good things is that connectivity you have to not only churches, but people who are in those churches. Right. And for me, it's often funny. I'm sure you still do what we consider an old school prayer letter. And we still do that too. We still do prayer letters we send out. But truth be told, by the time people get prayer letters, it's basically old news. Yeah. It's like a newspaper, yeah. You know what I mean? If people were paying attention to our Facebook page where we put mostly just ministry videos on and maybe updates and prayer requests, things like that, that when we go into churches, you know, people who have paid attention to our ministry are very clued in that when we get up and tell people what's been happening the last 2 or 3 years, I mean, they know what happened last week.
Yeah.
And I think that's a blessing. I'm very excited about that. And I know we're drawing this to a close, and we'll kind of finish with this. And this is kind of more of your expertise, but kind of continuing with that vein, you know, technology and media providing new ways to reach people. We've talked about this in different episodes. Josh has a lot of special episodes where he's used YouTube and TikTok and Instagram to connect with literally hundreds of thousands of people, oftentimes in a specific language. But even what we're doing, this medium now, if you're listening to this now, it's because you are somewhat technology savvy and have sought after a missionary podcast. And so for me, just anecdotally, as I'm mentioning before, and you were saying this, coming back on furlough and talking to almost every single church, someone who listens to this podcast, and very often not the pastor,
right,
some random church member, maybe a deacon, maybe a Sunday school teacher, you know, I was really struck with, wow, I really want to do a better job at this because I think people are really listening. And I think we can have maybe even bigger effect than I thought before. And like I said, we started this really to reconnect with each other and to encourage young missionaries. But I think there are a lot of people out there, maybe there are moms and dads that are praying for their kids to be missionaries. Maybe these are, I've heard missionary pastors' wives who listen to it, or just, you know, just a random person in a church. And we want to encourage them about worldwide missions because missions has come here. And so talk about that as we kind of close about what excites you. As I know, this is kind of like the Pandora's box of you when it comes to technology. You love it, you know. And so what is new that's exciting you about missions and technology?
Well, to be honest with you, it's funny because I've never been tech savvy. Right. And that's kind of the dirty little secret of how with kind of people look and say, man, look at what you're doing with social media and just outreach and stuff. I grew up loving to make films.
Right.
I love storytelling.
Telling a story.
Right. So I love direction. I love coaching somebody on how to maybe act a scene out, blocking out a scene, envisioning where everything's going. But I've never been up to date with what's the right mic to get, what's the right what's the right computer software, what's the right camera. Right. Like none of that. I just don't. To me, I hate that aspect of it. So I love editing, but it's time consuming. Yes. And so I'm happy to, you know, have somebody else do that. We have a young man we hired, and that was an answer to prayer that we hired recently in Senegal, who's doing a lot of our video editing now. And it's exciting. So all that being said, it is a valuable tool with Islamic evangelism. I'm just convinced with every missionary who's making an impact in the Islamic world for the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'll tell you the same thing. The most effective means of making initial contact with Muslims is media. And I have met and listened to different podcasts, and I've met different missionaries where their primary outreach is some sort of medium like social media. And I think I didn't share a lot in our early days when we were using social media because I didn't want people thinking that's all we did, because it's not all we do. We're church planting missionaries, but just like any church planter, you have different skill sets, you have different means of outreach that you employ. But the way I viewed it when we entered into it is, well, every generation has mediums by which they communicate. The radio, I just wonder, when the radio was invented, did Baptist preachers get up and say, bless God, we're not going to use this radio, you know, it's of the devil and all that? We probably did. It's just, it's good to be cautious and say, I'm not sure about this. When Facebook came out, yeah, a lot of people preached, yeah, be careful, because there are dangers to it.
Absolutely.
But mediums of communication are just that. It's just a medium that is a tool that can be used for good or bad. And we've allowed in the past, the charismatic movement have been the ones who jump immediately on any new technology or medium, and they get their message out immediately. And we're always a little hesitant. And for good reason, we've been, I think, hesitant.
Testing things.
Right. But I'm excited to see just the generation. Since we've been back on furlough, Eric, I've been sharing more about just the extent of our media ministry and the reach. And I've been encouraged by pastors just responding, saying, man, we had no idea. This is incredible. This is so exciting. I was with a pastor in a church. And when I went up to, I was preaching for him, and he said, be sure to mention how many, we're reaching, right now we reach 1 million people a month with our outreach, our broadcasts. We have, my goal is within a couple months, I'd like to be at 1 million followers. We're at about 750,000 followers right now on all our platform. And the reason I want to see it grow big is because we're seeing churches being started in Senegal right now as a result of our online media. Our church in Senegal is starting a church right now. While we're in the States, they're starting a church that was a result of somebody finding us online and asking our pastor and some of the men to come and start a Bible study in their house. And they've got a small house church that have started now. And so that's, you know, again, it's all about church planting, and media can be used effectively to do church planting, and media can be effective in communicating with your supporters. And I, you know, we're talking about different unique means in which people are reaching people, you know, media as well. We can get into countries that I can't even go to.
Right.
A missionary just wrote me and said, hey, the country he was a missionary in for 40 years just shut down his radio program that's been running since the 80s. And he said, I'd like you to help my national pastors move over to social media. And I happen to have a few contacts that we've already trained who go into that country and work with a particular ethnic group in that country where they're seeing a lot saved. And so we're going to start making those connections, helping his men get set up so they can start sharing and getting online, because it's just the reach is unlimited with the people you can reach. Yeah. So I'm excited to see a younger generation that are savvy with these things. I've had young guys come in who I love doing the storytelling. I write scripts, we write stories, we do all that. And then we'll have visitors come or young people come. They're like, oh, I know how to do that. Or this is the camera you should use and all that. And I'm like, man, come and work with us. You can use your gifts and your skills as part of this team. Because, you know, any sort of media, you know, if you do filmmaking, you look at the end credits, there's 1 million names that are scrolling by. It takes a village just to create, a 2-hour feature length film. And so I'm excited about just the partnership, the churches that are getting excited, how we can use media to continue to maintain effective communication with our supporting churches, as well as impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you would say, and I think we talked about this, you're not like, when it comes to media creating content, that's just not your ballpark. But I would say, you know, as a missionary, you still use social media to communicate. And you'll just, even if it's something as simple as putting your phone up and saying, hey, here we are. I love that. You'll give updates. Mm-hmm. And I encourage missionaries, do that. Keep people updated.
So we've talked about this yesterday. There's an idea of understanding who's a director and who's a producer. And directors have creativity and they know what they want to do. And a producer usually helps facilitate that. Josh has helped us create content our own because of his skills and abilities. And I think that is true. I think just getting the message out, what's going on, and even the simplistic ways you can to just let people know that you are excited about serving the Lord, what's going on, things are happening. That, I mean, people, truth be told, people do not have unrealistic expectations for you as a missionary. Right. I think sometimes we can put that on ourselves. But for us, it's enjoyable to share with people, you know, what spiritual rewards are being added to their account. And right. so we love that. I love seeing technology that's going out. I love to see the people, the reach. You know, when you can reach a million people in a short amount of time, I mean, that's generations. And with the kind of things Josh are doing, these aren't silly. This is giving the gospel out in clear ways, opening doors and barriers. And there are people listening to our voice who can do the same thing in other languages. And I know we're wrapping up now, but I want to kind of even plant a seed for the future. I think it'd be fun to do even a more fun, lighthearted podcast to talk to the young people and tell them some of the fun things we get through as missionaries. Yesterday, we got to share, and I won't get into it now, but some of the things Josh has been able to do with Instagram to make connections yeah. in other cultures that he's going to even do today by going to a restaurant, a Senegalese restaurant. Yeah, you know, I have a million stories. And even yesterday, I'm getting texts from people who are in a different world, in a baseball world, who want to connect with us. And you know, I think that is the thing I always try to tell young people. One of the greatest lies of Satan is that if you surrender to the Lord, you become a missionary. Like this idea that surrendering to the Lord, the worst thing that can happen to you is become a missionary and you go live in a hut in a third world country. It's like, well, maybe you'll live in a hut. I don't really know any missionaries live in a hut. But the people who love serving the Lord, who've been called to be missionaries, they're some of the like happiest people I know. Yeah. They have some of the coolest stories I know. And I think that's what I want to do in this podcast is even tell people, man, it's awesome serving the Lord. He opens doors you can't imagine, and it brings a joy. And I think young people need to hear that. And if they truly understand that, I think the fear of the unknown, unsafety, things like that, might go down. And so that's why I'm excited about missions today.
The missionaries that I've met that have been on the field the longest and are still just as passionate and excited about the ministry they're called into as they were when they were raising support, I think the secret that they've learned is I'm not in this country to build a ministry.
Right.
I'm here to plant my life yeah. and build my life here. And that's where the fun happens. Yep. Because there's tough times in life,
tough times.
But there's tough fun times things. Too. And we'll share next time, you know, some of those fun areas yeah. in which we use media
yeah.
to engage with people. And I'll just give like kind of a little teaser to it. Because of some of the media I do with my own page, I was actually invited to play a role in a TV show in France because somebody saw some of the content that I put out personally on my personal page. And they wrote me and said, hey, you get African humor. We want you to come and play this role. And I said, well, that's not exactly what I do, but I appreciate, you know, that opportunity. But yeah, the doors it opens when you understand. And I think that's part of longevity is we're here to build our lives here. Enjoy it, you know, and roll with the punches. And yes, there's going to be tough times and there's going to be fun times. Jesus said, my meat, okay, in John 4. Is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Yeah. So what I love about it is this, it's kind of just, we close with this, but God's work beginning from Genesis 3, it's just this constant. God is at work. We get to, on our timeline, plug in mm-hmm. by pursuing his will. He's going to plug you into what he's already doing, right? So as he plugs you in, it's not your work. So you don't have to carry that burden of, oh, I got to build the work for God. He's already doing it. He wants to plug you in. And that's why I always tell young people, God wants to use you, your skills, what you enjoy. Do you enjoy computer graphic design? Well, then develop that.
Yeah,
learn to be the best graphic designer you can, and then come to the mission field and use that for the glory of God. God wants to use what you enjoy, what you desire, things you enjoy when you surrender that to him. And when he plants you where he wants you, whether it's a short term or a long term, again, he's got his time. It's his work. So how long he wants you engaged in his work, that's up to him. But when he plants you there and you just plant your life, you'll thrive. You'll thrive in that. And so
in case you haven't noticed in the last two podcasts, we are so very excited about world evangelism. We hope you are too. So reach out, share this podcast with others, subscribe, send it to people who love missions, who maybe are interested in missions, young people, older, who knows? But we're thankful that you're listening. Please reach out with questions you have. We're looking for ideas for future topics and maybe even future interviews. Josh and I have a lot lined up in our minds, and we're working on that. But we're very excited to tell you what the Lord is doing all around the world. So this is Eric Johnson in sunny Martinsburg, West Virginia.
And this is Josh Mead right next to him in my chair that's higher. Actually, if you're watching, if you're listening, you're not going to be able to see this. I want to switch seats real quick so you can see that I'm not this monster towering over Eric here. We're going to switch. All right, here we go. Okay. Look at that. It's perspective.
Yeah.
This is a camera trick you learn when you do video I just want to overpower him and everything. And so maybe we should have switched with this podcast. Well, anyways, this is Josh Mead, and I really enjoyed reconnecting with Eric in person. Be sure to, as Eric mentioned, like and subscribe. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Have a great day.
That's a big difference.